Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Mem Ches. We will begin on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the first wide line. Echad Ger VeEchad Ever Meshuchar. In the Brice that we learned yesterday, the Brice that discussed the Ger's process, the conversion process, the Brice made a statement that a Ger and an Eved Meshuchar, a freed slave, are treated in the same way. And as we indicated, we needed to understand what is the Braisa comparing a Ger to an Eved Meshuchar. Before we begin, just to review, we discussed this also recently, what is the process when one buys an Eved Kanani? So the halacha is that when one buys an Eved Kanani, he has to take him to the mikveh and do Mila V'Tfilah. That Mila V'Tfilah makes the Eved Kanani an Eved Kanani. He's obligated to do the same mitzvahs that women are obligated to do. And he remains an Eved Kanani. He remains an Eved Kanani until the owner frees him. When the owner frees him, the halacha is on the general circumstances, although we may see an exception later in today's shir, he has to receive a shtar shichur, like a get, it's called a get shichur, a divorce, that he's no longer an Eved Kanani. And at that point, again, he goes to the mikveh, and now he has the din of a full-fledged Jew. Says the Gemara, Kasal Kedaitach, the Gemara in the Havam Minam believes that when the Braisa compares a Ger to Eved Meshuchar, what the Braisa means to say is, L'kabel olav mitzvahs. Just like as we've been learning, Geiris is not effective unless the Ger accepts knowingly that he's going to do all the mitzvahs. The same thing is a Eved. For him to be considered to go through the Geiris process, he has to be Makabel Mitzvahs. We're going to learn the Gemara, the way Rashi teaches us the Gemara. And as we just said, there are two times he goes to the mikveh. Once is at the beginning of the process, and once when he's free. Says Rashi, there is no discussion in our Gemara that everyone agrees that the first time he goes to the mikveh, when the owner buys him, everyone agrees that he has to, there's no das required. The owner could take him and coerce him and force him to go to the mikveh. The discussion that we're now going to have is the second time he goes to the mikveh, when he's freed, that will make him into a full-fledged Jew. And the Gemara now is saying that time it has to be with his das, with his consent that he's agreeing to be a Jew. Verminu asked the Gemara, it says in Embraisa, B'met v'mamurim, that das, consent is required, beger, avobeb m'shuchur, ain't tzarech l'kabel, consent is not required. So we have a question. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Shesh, Shloi Kasha. Harishim Melozer, the Embraisa that we just learned that says that consent by an Eved M'shuchur is not required, represents the opinion of Shimon Belozer. Ha, the Brice that we learned that compares an Eved Meshuchar to a Ger, Rabbanan represents the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Tanya, as we learned in a Brice, and another word of introduction. There's a parish in the Torah of Yefas Torah. Yefas Torah is that when Klal Yisrael went out to war, it was the custom of the Umayis Ha'olam that their women would dress up and entice the soldiers. And if a soldier wants to bring such a woman home and marry her, the Torah goes through a whole process, and we'll discuss it in Mitzvah Shem later today in our shir, that what is some of the dinim of the Fast Torah. So the Torah says regarding the Fast Torah, or brachsa savivas ima, for a month, or maybe for more than a month, she has to mourn over a family, says the Braisa. The medvar mamirim, when does this process required, shloi kibla leha, if she did not consent to become a geiris, avil kibla leha, if she consents to be geiris, mitpila, she becomes a full-fledged geiris, or medvar mamiyad, and then he can live with her. She's now a Jew. Rav Shimon Elazar comes up with a new way of being able to have relations and marrying this Yufas Torah immediately. She doesn't want to become a geiris. What he could do is kaifa, take her to the mikveh, the first tefillah, which makes into a shifcha kananis, and then take her to the mikveh again, which, as we said, the second time you take the Eved Kenani, or the same goes for Amma Kenanis, to the mikveh, that's when you free her. And when she's freed after that second tefillah, she now is a full-fledged Jew. Umashachri, he frees her, she's a full-fledged Jew, Umutaba Miyadi can now marry her. So the one question that obviously comes up, if according to Shimon ben Elazar, we have this option of taking her to the mikveh by force, twice, and like that she'll be a full-fledged Jew, so why does the Torah tell us the whole process of your fast tire? Just do this. So the Rishonim answered that not every man is prepared to take a woman and make her into an Amma Kenanis. So he's not prepared to make her into an Amma Kenanis, and she's not prepared to be a Geyoris. There is no other option than doing what the Torah says. Another interesting Shaila that I saw, Minchas Chinuch asked the Shaila. He asks, what will be the halacha if the Yifas Toyer, we begin the Yifas Toyer process, and then the person comes to the Daf Yomi Shir, and he learns that he has this option of taking her to the mikveh twice. Will that be allowed once he started another process? So Michas Chinuch says he doesn't see why, once we started the Yifas Toyer process, this should not be able to work. Daruch Haner asks an interesting shayla. The halacha is, Gemara says it many times in Shas, La'olam behem tavoidu, there's an issa l'shachar eved, there's an issa to free an eved. So asked Aruch Haner, how is the Gemara giving this, how's Rav Shimon giving this recommendation? Make her into an Amma, and then Kenanis, and then free her. You're not allowed to free an Amma Kenanis, you're not allowed to free an Eved Kenani. So why is the Gemara giving this suggestion? So Aruch Haner quotes a very interesting Ran. He says, why is there a halacha that you're not allowed to free an Eved Kenani? Because there's a din in the Torah, like sechanim, like titan lahem matnas chinam. You're not allowed to give them a gift for no purpose. Says the Ran, what does like sechanim mean? To go give a nachri a gift for no reason is asr. So the same thing, to take an Eved Kenani and free him is inappropriate. But if when you're doing it, there's a purpose that you have a gain, then there's no issur of like sechanim. This person that's freeing this Amma Kenanis, he's not doing it because it's for her benefit. He's doing it for his benefit, that he wants to marry her. That is not an Isser, and that's why he's allowed to go through this process. But what do we see from here? What's relevant to our shir? That Rav Shimon is telling us that she could be forced as an Amma Kenanis to go to the mikveh. So that's why, as says the Gemara, the opinion that the Brice represented that says that you could do it by force represents the Shita of Shimon ben Elazar. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rava, my Tamid Shimon ben Elazar, what is the basis for Shimon ben Elazar's opinion? The Ksiv. There's a Pasuk. The Pasuk refers to the Karban Pesach. The Pasuk says, V'kol Evet Ish, Miknas Kesef, U'malta Oysay Oz Yoichabai. What the Pasuk is telling us is that if one owns an Evet Kenani who did not have Mila, that prevents the owner from being allowed to bring a Karban Pesach or eat the Karban Pesach. So the Pasuk says, the Ksiv kol Evet Ish, Miknes Kesef. So there's an inherent difficulty in the wording of the Pasuk. Ask the Gemara, Evet Ish, V'loi Evet Isha? Does it make a difference if the owner is a man or a woman? Why, when the Torah is discussing the Eved, does it call him an Eved Ish? It just should have said Eved. Doesn't make a difference if the owner is a man or a woman. Ella, says the Gemara, what the Pasuk is teaching us, Eved Ish Atamol Bakarchai. An Eved can be converted, can be taken to the mikveh, even without his consent. V'yatamol Benish Bakarchai. But to convert a son of someone, that can't be done by force. So this, we need to understand this, obviously. The Torah is saying, 2 points that the Mefarshim discuss here. One is the Torah is saying, it can't be that there's a difference between if the owner is a man or a woman. Because if there's a problem that if you have an Eved who doesn't have a Mila, that prevents you from eating the Karban Pesach, it shouldn't make a difference if you're the owner, a man or a woman. Ask Taisvis and the Rishonim, it should make a difference. It should make a very big difference. Because a man, who he himself is obligated to have a bris mila, so his Eved also has to have a bris mila. But a woman is not obligated to have a bris mila. She's not obligated to make her son have a bris mila. And maybe she isn't obligated to have her Eved have a bris mila. So why is the Gemara assuming that it doesn't make a difference if the owner is a man or a woman? So the Mefarshim answer that this is not a din of mila. This is a din either in Hilchus Korban Pesach, that you're not allowed to participate in Korban Pesach if your Eved doesn't have a Bris Mila. It's a din in Avdus that your Eved has to have a Bris Mila. When do we say that women are exempt from Mila? In Hilchus Mila. Here we're not discussing Hilchus Mila. Here we're discussing Hilchus Korban Pesach. We're discussing Hilchus Avodah. So the Gemara is saying that Eved, according to Shimon Lozan, Eved could be forced into Geirus, so to speak. But a son of someone cannot be forced into Geirus. So Mepharshim asked, what's the Havamina? That we could, just because somebody becomes a Ger, would we think that his son, that the father could force the son to become a Ger? If the father wants to be a Ger, why should that affect the children? So I saw a beautiful Vart from Rabitz Lepanovicher, Shalos Tshuva Ein Yitzchak. He says there's an interesting Rambam. Even though we know the Halacha is, Gersh and his Geir, to cut and Shanoil Dami, we're actually going to discuss it in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's year, that when one becomes a Ger, halachically, he has no more relations with his family that were not Jewish with him. The halacha is that a father of a, the father became a Ger, and the son is not a Ger. The father has a right to sell the son as an Eved. Note, in those days, parents, Jewish and non-Jewish, had the right to sell their children as an Eved. And it makes no difference if the father became Jewish and the son is not Jewish. The Rambam says he has a right to sell him. So says the Ein Yitzchak, beautiful. I would think that just like the father has a right to sell his non-Jewish son, even though he's Jewish, the fact that he's still the biological father gives him the right to sell him as an Eved. Perhaps that should also give him a right to be Megayer him. Says the Pasuk, not. So this is the proof that an Eved can be done by force. The Rabbanan, who disagree, and the Rabbanan, as we learned at the beginning of the Shia, say that it cannot be done, you cannot immerse, and you cannot do the Geirus of an Eved either by force. How are they going to explain this Pasuk? The Rabbanan hold, Oma Ula Kishem Shiat Mol Ben Ishba Karchai, just like you can't take the son of a Ger and make him a Ger without his consent, you can't do it to an Eved either. Our question comes back, what does the Torah mean when it uses the words Evedish? Says the Gemara, it's coming to teach us a different thing altogether, the halacha that Shmuel taught us. If somebody owns an Eved Kanani, and then he decides that he's Hefker, Yotz L'Cheiris, then Tzarch Get Shechur. That even though we said at the beginning of the Shir, the process for freeing an Eved Kanani is by giving him a Get Shechur. If Baal Bos goes and he says he's Hefker, then there's no need to go through this Get Shechur requirement. Shenemar, call Eved Ish Niknes Kesef. Again, ask the Gemara, Eved Ish V'lo Eved Isha. Does it make a difference if the Eved is owned by a man or a woman? El Eved Sheish Lo Yerushus L'Rabbi Olav Kari Eved. If the Baal Bos still has ownership, that he wasn't mafker him, then he's your Eved. V'she'en Rabbi Lushus Olav, why? You don't have control over him because you were mafker him, and Kari Eved, he's not considered your Eved. So, the Mepharshim ask, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn Masechet Kedushin. The Gemara Masechet Kedushin has a Mishnah. The Mishnah there discusses the halachas of how an Eved is freed. And the Mishnah says, like we said, you need to give him a Shtar Shechur, because the Mishnah compares the, so to speak, divorce of an Eved from his owner to the divorce of a wife from a husband, that you have to have a get. So here we're learning that you don't have to have a divorce. Here we're learning that you could just do Hefker. So first of all, the question is, why doesn't the Mishnah mention this process? And second of all, we see that it's not the same. Here Hefker works. Nobody says that Hefka would work when you divorce your wife. So Mepharshim answer, and this is a fundamental understanding, Hefka doesn't work by a wife because we don't own our wives. We're married to our wives. We don't own them. You could be mafker something you own. I own this table, and I could be mafker it. I don't own it anymore. I own it Eved, I could be mafker it. So when the Mishnah is discussing Eved compared to Isha, it's discussing divorce. So if we go through a divorce process, so there the Torah tells us, law, that the din by an Eved is the same as the din by an Isha. But when we discuss Hefker by definition, is only applicable to avodim, it's not applicable to wives, and therefore it's not the subject of the discussion of Masechta Kedusha. Maskev lo Rav Papa. So now the Gemara has established that we have a machlokes of Rishim ben Elazar and Rabbanan. According to Rishim ben Elazar, avodim could go through the Geirus process by force, and according to Rabbanan, not. Ask the Gemara why? Because Rabbanan compare Eved to Yefas Toyer. Just like Yefas Toyer has to be with her consent according to the Rabbanan, so too does an Eved Kanani's Geirus have to be with his consent. Ask the Gemara, Maskla Rapapa, Aim of the Shamalei Rabbanan, when did the Rabbanan say that consent is required? Be fast toyer. We have a woman that was not Jewish till now. The Lo Shaych Mitzvahs. She never had any relationships doing mitzvahs. So now we want to convert her. Her consent is required. Evel Evid, as we've been saying all along, as soon as he becomes an Evid Kanani, that first tefillah, according to Rashi, is certainly done without his consent. And at that point, he's mechuyev, he's obligated to do all the mitzvahs that women are mechuyev to do. The shaykh of mitzvahs, that he has had an obligation to do mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs that women are required to do. Hakanami, perhaps, tafil rabbanim moida. Even the rabbanim will agree that his geiris can be done without his consent. And the Gemara proves that the rabbanim agree that the geiris of an evet doesn't require his consent. The Tanya, Echid Ger, Vechel Lekech Eved Menoyev Kechavim, makes no difference. A Ger, if somebody buys an Eved from a non-Jew, Tzorach L'Kabel, the people have to consent to the Geris. What is the Brisa telling us? Holekech Miyisrael, if one Jew bought an Eved Kanani from another Jew, and then he wants to free him and make him into a Jew, ain't Tzorach L'Kabel, then the Eved's consent is not required. Ask the Gemara Mani, who is the Tan of this Mishnah? Irav Shimon ben Elazar, if we're going to say it represents the position of Shimon ben Elazar, Ha'amar, if Shimon ben Elazar says that by an Eved, his consent is never required. Ha'amar, Lo'ikeich min Eved Kechavim, Nami ain't Tzarech L'Kabel, his consent is never required. El Lav, it represents the position of the Rabbanim. And what is the Braisa telling us? V'shma minod Lo'ikeich min Eved Kechavim, that if you buy the Eved from the Goy, there Tzarech L'Kabel, you need his consent. So we see that his consent is not required. So how can we suggest that the Braisa that we learned on top of Mem Zayin on the base that says that we compare Ger and Eved and say just like by the Ger we need his Das, so too by an Eved we need his Das. He was saying that even the Rabbanan don't need Das. So ask the Gemara Al-Kasha. So how will we explain what the Braisa did compare Echid Ger and Echid Eved Meshuchar? Says Tagmar Kitanya, that Bryce is referring lenient tefillah. That Bryce is teaching us that just like a ger, as we've been learning, to complete the conversion process has to go to the mikveh, so too an eved, even though he went to the mikveh when he became an eved kanani, when he gets freed and is going to become a full-fledged Jew, has to go to the mikveh, to a kosher mikveh again. So as I said, we explain, and we're not going to learn over the sugya, just to point out, we explained the sugya like Rashi, that everybody agrees the first tefillah that a Eved has can be done without his consent, and the second tefillah depends on the positions of Shimon and Loz and Rabbanim. However, other Rishonim, most notably the Ramban, disagree. And he says that everybody will agree that the first tefillah of the Ger requires requires his consent. Al Gemara is only referring to the second tefillah. So I saw from Ramosha, in the Dibris Moshe, he explains what's the machloikus of Rashi in the Ramban. He explains it very beautifully. The Ramban holds that the tefillah, the first tefillah of an Eved, is a Geiris. So since it's Geiris, as we've been learning, Geiris requires consent. The second tefillah is not Geiris, he's already a Ger. That's why consent is not required. Rashi learns that the tefillah of an Eved is not a din in Geiris. There's a new concept that the Torah established. What's that concept called? Avdus. And Avdus has its own process. Their consent is not required. What would be another nafkamina? I saw the Mefarshim point out between Rashi and the Ramban. if you need three people by the tefillah of an Eved. According to the Ramban, that it's for Geirus, so as we've been learning, Geirus requires three Dayanim. According to Rashi, that it's not a din in Geirus, it's a din in Avdus. There we don't have any Gemara to teach us that you need three Dayanim for that tefillah. So as we learned at the beginning of the Shir, the Torah discusses a Yafas Torah. Tan Rabbanan. So the Brisa teaches us, the Pasuk says regarding the Yafas Torah, the Gilchas Roisha Vosas Atzipanel. She has to shave her head, and she has to do her nails. So now there's a machlokes, what does Vosas Atzipanel mean? Rav Elazar Omer Vosas Atzipanel means tokets, that she should cut her nails. Rav Akiva Omer Tagdal, she has to let her nails grow. For how long, we'll see in a moment. Omer Rav Elazar, says Rav Elazar, what's my proof that Osat Tzipaneh means to cut a nail? Nema Siyah Barosh. The Torah uses the word that you have to do something with the hair. Nema Siyah Baham Tzipaneh. The Torah says you have to do something with the nails. Ma'ala Halon Havara. By the hair, the Torah is very explicit. It means to shave the head. Afkan Havara. Here too, by the nails, it means to cut them. Rekiva learns differently. Nema Siyah Barosh. The Torah says something has to be done with the hair and something has to be done with the nails. Malahalan, what did the Torah tell us to do with the hair? To completely shave her head. Why do we do that? Nevil. To make her look unbecoming. That he shouldn't marry this Yifas Torah. Afkan, nevil. It should mean something unbecoming, so it doesn't mean to cut her nails. It rather means to make her nails grow long, which makes her look unattractive. So ask the Chizkuni, we need to understand Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Akiva, we understand everything that that she goes through is to make her look unbecoming. Shave her hair, let her nails grow. But according to Rabbi Elazar, what is the point of cutting her nails? Why does the Torah tell us to do it? It's not to make her unattractive. So why are we telling her to cut her nails? So says the Chizkuni, according to Rabbi Elazar, the point of the process of the fast Torah is not to make her look unattractive. The point of the process of the Yifas Torah is to take her from Tumah to Tahara. Till now, she was a Nochris, and now she's going to become a Jew, or some sort of relationship to a Jew. So we cut her hair, we cut her nails, that she's like a person who goes to the mikveh, no chatzitza, she's going from one status in life to another status in life. Says the Gemara, V'raya l'div Rebbe Elazar, and a raya to Rebbe Elazar, that when the Torah uses the words v'osso tziponel, it means to cut the nails. The Pasuk says regarding Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, we know, was the son of Shaul. Avshalom had rebelled against his father David. And Mephibosheth wanted to show that he had solidarity with David HaMelech. So the Pasuk says that when David HaMelech ultimately was able to prevail over Avshalom, and David HaMelech comes back to Yerushalayim, or Mephibosheth ben Shaul yored l'kras HaMelech, and to show that he felt and he commiserated with David HaMelech, so le'osa raglov v'le'osa sfomai. The entire time that David HaMelech was on the run, le'osa raglov, he didn't cut his nails, le'osa sfomai, and he did not cut his mustache. So what do we see? Le'osa mean? Le'osa means havar, he didn't cut. So we see that a siya means, by nails, means raglov, he didn't cut the nails of his feet. That's how Rashi says, Loyos raglov, he didn't cut the nails of his feet. Tosfos has a very different interpretation of Loyos raglov. He says Loyos raglov means that he not cut the hair by the base of erva. And he did not cut the hair by the underarms. So Tosfos asks that a man is anyway not allowed to cut those areas. Because there's a possible in the Torah, by Silbish Gever, Simosisha. A woman is allowed to do things to beautify herself, not a man. So Taisha says, from here we see that that's only an Issa de Rabbanon that wasn't in place in the time of Mephibosheth, which has relevance, La Locha Lamaisa. Because we know, one of the halachas is that a man is not allowed to dye his hair, is not allowed to dye his beard, to make himself look beautiful. So there was a Shaila asked by the Shaila, to the Shaila Meshif. Interesting, Shaila. The shaila is that a person had a beard, and half the beard remained black, and half the beard was white. And he wanted to know if he's allowed to dye his beard. He said he's not dyeing his beard to look beautiful. He's dyeing his beard because he looks funny. The half beard is black, and half the beard is white. So the shaila meshif, especially based on this Tosfos that says that the entire Isser is only an Isser Derabbanan, allows him under those circumstances to dye his beard. There's a truth in Divrei Chaim says he could dye his beard, but why should he dye his whole beard black? Let him dye his whole beard white. So the Rechaim doesn't allow him to dye his whole beard. There are tshuvas and the Gris Moshe along the same line. The Moshe has a shaila there of a person, a young person, got white prematurely. He's not married. He says he's going to have a problem getting married because he has white hair. Everybody's going to think he's an old man. Is he allowed to color his hair? Or people don't like to hire older workers. So if somebody has a problem getting a job, is he allowed to dye his hair? Ramosha seems to think that if the purpose of dyeing is not to make one beautiful, it could be perhaps be makel. If somebody has a shiloh, you should ask a rav. There's another interesting shiloh that the Pais can discuss. If somebody wants to go through plastic surgery, this has nothing to do with men anymore. This is even women. And again, women don't have a problem with silbush. Are they allowed to have plastic surgery there even to make themselves beautiful? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach seems to be a little more lenient, but I saw a tshuva from Rav Ozner. Rav Ozner says that if the surgery requires the person going under general anesthesia, so he says any time a person goes under general anesthesia, it's considered that he's in a situation of sakana, and a person might put himself into sakana just to have plastic surgery, unless it's for refuah. Tana Rabbanan. So the Braisa continues discussing the Yifas Toyer. Or Boxes of Yavas Ima. During this period, we'll discuss soon how long this period is for, she should cry for her parents. Rebelez Ima Avia Mamish, Ima Ima Mamish. What does it mean, her father? She should cry for her family that she's separated from. Reb Kiva Ima Avia Ima, what does the Pasuk mean, her father and mother? Zuavadis Kuchavim. She cries over that she no longer will be able to worship Avodah Zarah. The Kenel Omer, how do we see the Avi Avi Ima refer to Avodah Zarah? Omer Mle'etz Avi Ata, they call the Avodah Zarah their parents. Ask Tosfos, what is the Nafkamina, how we interpret Avi Avi Ima? So first Tosfos wants to say there is really no Nafkamina. And in fact, it seems that the Rambam brings down both pshatim, which would indicate, like Tosfos, there's really no practical nafkamina. Then Tosfos says that he does suggest some nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, let's say she doesn't have parents anymore. She has no living parents. So there's nothing to cry for. There are no parents. Or let's say her parents were Megayer. So they're Jewish, like she's going to become Jewish. So if the issue is that she's crying over her parents, here there's no reason she should cry over her parents. If the reason is that she should cry for the Avodah Zarah, she still has to be separated. The Rivon says another nafkamina. If the thing is that she's crying over her parents, which is like some sort of an avelus, so after the 30 days, or whatever the period is, 30 days, she now can live with this Jewish man. If the thing is to separate her from the Avodah Zarah, let's say 30 days pass, and she's still connected to the Avodah Zarah, so she still will have to wait, because our goal is to separate her from the Avodah Zarah, so as long as it takes. Yerach Yomim. So the Pasuk says, for Yerach Yomim this should take place. How much is a Yerach? Shloshim Yom. 30 days. Rav Shimon Lazar Omer, Tishim Yom. She has to be 90 days. Why 90 days? Yerach represents Shloshim Yom. Yerach is a month. A month is 30 days. Shloshim, then the Pasuk uses the word Shloshim, is another 30 days. And then the Pasuk says, V'achakein u'v'altoi, that represents another 30, which represents 90 days in total. Why? What's the machloikis, 30 days or 90 days? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that the manda omer that holds 30 days is like the manda omer, is like Rabbi Lezer, that says the point of crying is to separate her from her parents. Avelis, the shloshim. The manda omer that says you need 90 days because the point of this separation is from Avodah Zarah, that needs a longer period of 90 days. Another pshat that I saw is that the man, the army that says she has to be separated for 90 days, holds that we need to make sure she's not pregnant. Going back to something we learned in our perek, because if she's pregnant, we wouldn't know who the child is. Is she a child? Is that a child of somebody she had relations before or of this man? So that's why we need the afchana of 90 days. Maskala Ravina, ask Ravina if this is the way we're learning pshat in the pasuk. Maybe the way to understand the pasuk is Yerach represents Shloshim, 30 days. Yomim represents another Shloshim. Vachkein represents not 30, but 60 that were referred to previously. Achkein Kahani, so it would be 120 days, not just 90 days. Says the Gemara Kasha. Indeed, that perhaps is a question. Says the Gemara, Tanra Abonin, Mekayim Avodim She'en Amolim De'Rabbi Shmuel. If one has an Eved Kenani, and this Eved Kenani refuses to have a bris mila, and most Rishonim say not only a bris mila, it also refuses to go to the mikvah. Rav Shmuel says we could keep him in our home as an Eved Kenani. Rav Kiva Omer, Ein Mekayimim. We may not keep such an Eved Kenani in our possession. Ask the Rishonim a simple question. We began, and at the beginning of our shir, the Rav Shimon Elazar says that we're allowed to force Rav Shimon Elazar's position, and as we finish the sugi, even Rabbanan in many circumstances agree, we could force an Eved Kenani against his will to have a mila tefila. So how could the situation ever occur? Answer the Rishonim. What's the reason that we're not allowed to keep an Eved Kenani that doesn't want to have a bris mila in our possession? So Tosfos quotes two pshatim. Tosfos says, could we find by Avram Avinu, he had to do mila on his avodim. So that becomes the din that a mila, that a Eved Kenani has to have a mila. But most Rishonim learn a different pshat. We don't want to have an Eved Kenani in our possession that doesn't want to follow the rules, that doesn't want to be Jewish, that doesn't want to follow the dinim of being part of Klal Yisrael. So yes, Rav Shimon Elazar, and yes, even the Rabbanan hold we could force. But is that the Eved Kenani that we want to have in our possession that really doesn't want to follow the rules? And we have him in our home, and he's not going to act like a Jew is supposed to act? And therefore, Rav Akiva says that we may not keep him in our home. Amalei Rav Shmuel. So Rav Shmuel says to Rav Akiva, Harei Oimer, the Pasuk says, this is the Pasuk regarding Shmira Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Sheis Hashem Tassim Asecha, Ubiyayim HaShvi Tishbois, L'man Yenuach, Shorcha V'chamorcha, V'yinofesh Ben HaMoscha V'ager. So the question is, who is the Ben HaMoscha? Harei Oimer V'yinofesh Ben HaMoscha. Amalei, so we see that it's referring to an Eved. And we see that the Eved is not the Eved Kenani that went through Mila and Tefila, because he went through Mila and Tefila, then he has to follow all the mitzvahs of that women are mechuyev. So how would it be a question that he shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos? Who must it be? It must be an Eved Kenani that did not have Mila and Tefila. But according to Rekiva, there is no such a circumstance. Ein mekayimim. You're not allowed to keep an Eved that didn't have Mila and Tefila. Amalei b'lekech Eved ben Hashmashas. The Pasuk is referring to a specific situation. Somebody bought an Eved Kenani Friday afternoon. And there was no time, Shabbos comes. Such a mila may not take place in Shabbos. It's a mila shloi b'zmanoi. So now he has an Eved in his possession that didn't go through mila and tefillah. That's who the Pasuk is referring to. And like the Ritva explains, it's not only this circumstance. Let's say somebody bought an Eved on Friday or even early in the week and the Eved is sick. So you can't undergo a mila. So again, here we have a circumstance that even Rabbi Kiva will agree that we have an Eved in our possession that didn't have mila. Interestingly, Daruch Lener asks that Ritva says that a mila of an Eved should never take place within 3 days of Shabbos. Because we know that the first 3 days after mila, the person's a chayl shesh by sakana. And if it's on Shabbos, we may have to be mechal Shabbos. So what does the Gemara have to say that the boredom of Friday? You could even boredom of Thursday, you'll have the same issue. So Aruch Lener says that that's only midrabanan. Midraisa, a mila shloi b'zmano could even take place on Friday. So that's what the Pasuk is referring to. The Kura Amamiyas, but everybody agrees that this Pasuk that we just quoted, the Yenofesh ben HaMoscha, the Eved Oral Kosef Ksiv. The Pasuk is referring to an Eved Kenani that did not have a mila. My mashma. Ask the Gemara, how do I know that that's what the Pasuk is referring to? The Tanya, the Yenofesh ben HaMoscha, the Eved Oral HaKos Medaber. The Pasuk is referring to an Eved who did not have a bris mila. Says the Gebraisa, at the Oim of the Eved Oral, what makes you say that the Braisa is referring to an Eved that did not have a bris mila? I ain't all about Eved Mol. Maybe the Braisa is talking about a regular Eved Kenani that did have the mila. Kshu Oimer, says the Braisa, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, "Leman yenuach avdecha v'amoscha kamoicha," that your eved may not do any malach on Shabbos, just like you may not do. So that pasuk is talking about Hare mal eved mal amr. That pasuk is referring to the eved that had a bris milah. Hama ani mekayim v'yinofesh ben amoscha. So who are we going to say the pasuk of v'yinofesh ben amoscha is referring to? Be'eved oral. So that's how everybody has to explain. The pasuk said, as we read it before, Vager. So the question is, who's a ger? Zer ger toishev. So we have here machloikis, Rashi and Toishev. What does a ger toishev mean? Rashi says that a ger toishev is a non-Jew that accept, that lives amongst us in Eretz Yisrael and accepted upon himself to do all the mitzvahs. The only mitzvah that he's not careful with, interestingly, according to Rashi, is he's not makbid on kashrus. But all the other mitzvahs, he follows. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, there is no such a thing. Either you're a ger, or you're not a ger. He says that a ger toishev is only makabel to do the zayim mitzvahs b'nei noyach. However, he also agreed that he's not going to do melacha on behalf of a Jew on Shabbos. That's what a ger refers to. So I saw from the pun of a Chirov to answer Rashi, what's pshat that he was makabel Shabbos? What does that mean that he was makabel Shmir Shabbos? Either he's a ger or not. So he says, very nice pshat. He says that we know that kol mechal Shabbos is kilo oivet avodah zara. He says, so what this ger toishiv is accepting upon himself, that he's going to follow, that he's not going to worship avodah zara in any fashion. Being Shmir Shabbos is connected to not worshipping avodah zara. That's why he has to be Shmir Shabbos. At the oimer zeger toishiv, ask the braisa, who says that the pasuk is referring to a ger toishiv? Or ain't a ger tzedek? Maybe it's referring to a ger tzedek, and the pasuk is saying that he has to keep Shabbos. Shoimer, the ger chasher b'sherecha, hare get tzedek omer. The pasuk already tells us that a full-fledged ger has to be shomer Shabbos. Hanemikayim v'ger. So how do we explain the pasuk of a ger? It's referring to ger toishiv. Ask the mafarshim obvious question. Why do I need a pasuk to specify that a ger tzedek has to be shomer Shabbos? A ger tzedek is a Jew. Every Jew, a Jew has to do all tariyah mitzvahs. Shabbos is certainly one of the tariyah mitzvahs. So the mafarshim answer, why do we have to be shomer Shabbos? Because it really says it in the Seferos Divros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. He says, you were avodim Mitzrayim, now I took you out, you're my avodim, and these are the rules of the avdus. But this ger wasn't a Mitzrayim. So perhaps I would think that a ger tzedek who wasn't taken out of Mitzrayim shouldn't have to be shomer Shabbos. That's why we need a pasuk. Rabbi Shua Melevi, halakeich ever min ovek kachavim, if somebody buys an eved from ovek kachavim, v'lo rotz lomo, and the ger refuses to have a bris milah, megalgal imay ad yud beis chodesh. Up to 12 months, we give him opportunity to have a bris milah, loy mol, but if after 12 months he still refuses to have a bris milah, chayzer mechray loyv dekachavim. Then he can't hold on to them, and he has to sell them back to loyv dekachavim. Amru rabbanan kamed rapapa. So rabbanan said this over in front of rapapa, command, who does Rabbi Shua ben Levi's ruling follow? The like Rabbi Kiva. It can't follow Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, you can't keep him for 12 months. You can't keep him at all. So Rishonim ask, and why is it only a question of Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Shmuel says, Mekayman, you're allowed to keep him forever. And here it says you only can keep him for 12 months. So Rishonim answered that even though Rabbi Shmuel holds that Midaraisi you're allowed to keep him forever, we could understand what the Rabbanim would tell us, that if up to 12 months he didn't want to have a bris, it's like we learned earlier, it's inappropriate to have such a person in your possession. But Rabbi Kiva, who says you're not allowed to keep him even for a day, here it says, for a year. Amalei, Rapapa. So Rapapa says, no, the Rabbi Shuban Levi's ruling could even be consistent with Rabbi Kiva. Afilu tam Rabbi Kiva. Hani mili, when did Rabbi Kiva say that you have to immediately take him out of your possession if he refuses to have a bris milah? Hani milah hecha delay poskel amilsa. Aval hecha de poskel amilsa, poskel. So Rashi has two pshatim in this. One pshat Rashi says is that hecha delay poskel amilsa means that at the beginning he said he'll have a bris milah. And now he's starting to have second thoughts. So then we give him up to 12 months. If after 12 months he still refuses, we have to sell him. If up to 12 months, maybe he'll change his mind. Another pshat, the Rashi says, Hecha the Paschal Milsa means that if at the beginning this Eved made a condition, I don't want to have a bris. And he took the Eved under those terms, so he has up to 12 months to convince him to change his mind. But when he took the Eved didn't make this stipulation that he's not going to have a bris. And now he says, I'm not going to have a bris, then you have to let him go right away. Another pshat, the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos quotes, it says like this. If the Eved is not Paschal Milsa, he's not firm, he's being wishy-washy, so up to then we give him 12 months. If, on the other hand, he's firm, I refuse to have a bris, then he has to sell him right away. Amrav Kahana, Amrita L'shmaitz Kamed Rav Zidman Hador. I said over what Rav Papa just taught us to Rav Zidman Hador. Amrili, and Rav Zid made the following comment. Yehocher, Kiamalei, Rabbi Kiva. We had a kasha in the previous piece of Gemara. How will Rabbi Kiva interpret the words V'yinofish Betamoscha? And the way the Gemara said we interpreted that you could have an Eved without a bris mila, it was interpreted B'lekeich Eved Bein HaShemashas. That he had an Eved, they brought him right before Bein HaShemashas, and there was no opportunity of Shabbos, and there was no opportunity to do a bris mila. Ask the Gemara, Lishne Leha, he could have given another teretz. It was this circumstance where we give him 12 months to decide. Answers the Gemara, Chad Matrei Tama Kama. You're right. The Gemara could have mentioned this option, that I have an Eved that didn't want to have a bris, and I'm giving him 12 months to decide. Or we could have said that we bought an Eved right before Shabbos and didn't have an opportunity to do the bris mila. There are a number of ways of explaining the pasuk. Similar Gemara. Sholach Rav Mishmed Rabbeloi. The Kama Raisi Amrali B'Shmai. Is it ever oral Shemut L'Kaimai? Which Eved that didn't have a bris mila may I hold on to? Zeh Sholach Rabbi Amanash Shloi L'Molai. If I bought an Eved and I made a deal that we're not going to have a bris mila, then I can hold on to him. Otherwise, I may not. So Sorav Shach asks, how could somebody buy an Eved with a condition that he's not going to make a bris mila? It's Masna Masha Mesakas of the Torah. The Torah says you have to make a bris. How could you make such an arrangement? So Rav Shach answers that if one buys an Eved and he says, I'm going to follow the dinim of Eved Kanani, so then a bris mila is required because the Torah says that that's part of the process. Here he's not buying him as an Eved Kanani. He's just buying him as an asset. An asset, there's no dinim of bris mila. Amru Kamei, Rabbanu Kamei Drapapa, Kaman, who does this opinion follow, that if there was a clear understanding that he's not going to have a bris, then you don't have to make a bris? The like Rabbi Kiva. And it's interesting, the Bach says that if you made a deal that you're not going to make a bris, if you make a bris, then the sale is over, because you went against the conditions of the sale. This doesn't represent the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva says, you're not allowed to have such an Eved in your possession that didn't have a bris. It could even follow Rabbi Kiva's position. Because Hani Mili, when did Rabbi Kiva say that you have to make the bris immediately, Hecha Delay Asni Badai, if they didn't have this condition between them? Aval Hecha De Asni Asni, if they made the condition, even Rabbi Kiva will agree, a deal is a deal. Amra Pap Kahana, Amrit L'Shmaitz Kamei De Razvid Men Hador, again, similar Gemara, Vamalei, Ihochi, if Rabbi Kiva will agree, that if a clear stipulation is made, then the Eved doesn't have to have a bris mila. Ki kamalei Rabbi Kiva. Why, when we had a problem, how to define the pasuk of Yinofish ben Amoscha? We said it's talking about Belekech Eved ben Hashmashas. We said it's referring to a situation that I brought this Eved right before Shabbos, for Lo Hispik L'Moyla, and didn't have an opportunity to do a bris mila. Lishtenle, ha, why don't we answer that's referring to a situation that the Eved was bought with a stipulation that he's not going to have a bris mila. Ask the Gemara with Tameich, Lishnei Hach, why don't we say that's referring to the case that we give him 12 months to decide? Ella, how do we explain, how do we answer that question? Chad Metrei V'Tlas Tamekomer. There are a number of ways of explaining the pasuk, how one can have an Eved according to Bekiva without a bris mila. Actually, there are three ways. One is, if he brought him right before Shabbos. The other way is that the Eved is not agreeing, so we give him 12 months to agree. And the third is when a clear stipulation was made that he's not going to have a bris mila. Yosef, Rav Chanin bar Papi, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Akilah de Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Yosef Akamri, Ira Hachas Hoyes Bet Yisrael, there was a sin in Eretz Yisrael, v'loy rotzul avadeh lomul. The Avadim never agreed to have a bris mila. The Gilgul Imam, achnei masachodesh. So they gave him up to 12 months to decide. The Chazru, and when they still refused to have a bris mila, Chazru machim la'av de kachavim. Command, whose opinion does this represent? So the Gemara kahai tana. The Tanya, halakeach ever man of kachavim, if one buys an ever from a goy, v'loy rotzul lomul, magalgul imoy achnei masachodesh. We give him up to 12 months. Loimol, if at that point he's still refusing to have a bris mila, chazro imoy chulayv to kachavim. Rav Shimon alozo oimer, ein mashna yisoy be'etz Yisrael. When is there a halacha that we give the Eved Kanani up to 12 months to decide? That's if it's an Eved Kanani, not an Eretz Yisrael. But an Eretz Yisrael, we immediately have to sell him if he refuses to have a bris mila, and they have to taharis. And Eretz Yisrael, as we've learned so many times, they were makban and tum and tahara, so they can't have an Eved in the house who's not acting in this way and will make everything tar tame. Furthermore, ubi'ir hasmucha l'sfar, if they live in a city next to the border, ein mashna soy kalikar. There too we're not allowed to hold on to such an Eved that refuses to have a bris mila. Shema yishma dover. Obviously, if this Eved is refusing to have a bris mila, he doesn't want to be loyal. He doesn't want to be part of the Jewish people. And if he's living in such a sensitive area, we have to be concerned that he won't be loyal. And if he hears that the people in this city, we live in such a strategic area, he'll go repeat to his colleagues what plans we have and could put us all in this strategic area in danger. There's a very interesting samsai for just to end the shir. The pasuk says in the Megillah, ki higid lahem, that Haman says, the Megillah says that Haman told them, ki martcha yehudihu. They told him that martcha, pasuk pshat in the Megillah is, that martcha was a Jew. So they say, we know that Haman was an eved of Mordechai. We say the sons of the Mordechai. Al Gemara is teaching us that an Eved Kanani has to go through Mila and Tefila. Yehudihu doesn't refer to Mordechai. Yehudihu refers to Haman. That Haman told his family, I'm a Jew, because I had to become a Jew when I became the Eved of Mordechai. As soon as his family heard that he's a Jew, then they gave up hope in him. And that's pshat that we say in Al-Nissim, v'heshev lo gemulei al roishai. That what happened to him, what he did happened back to him. What does that mean? He became a ger. We know b'bnei bonav shel Haman, that the children of Haman, lomdu Torah b'bnei brak, became bali tshuva. Just like he was a Jew, because he had to become a ger when he was Mordechai's Eved, his children also became full-fledged Jews.